we're starting the book of Joshua today. So welcome to the book of Joshua. Now, Joshua is a fantastic book, isn't it? It's full of great stories, and I'd say as a kid, especially for young boys, this is a fantastic book. If you love conquests and powerful battles, well, then this is the book for you. Now, Joshua is a special guy. Even his name is special. The Hebrew name for Joshua is later translated as Jesus in Greek. And Joshua was one of the 12 spies who went into the land, and he and Caleb came out of the land and said that the land was good. They said to the Israelites that they should go into the land and take possession of it. But the other 10, well, they were doubting that Israel could do it, and so they spent the next 40 years in the desert. And the name Joshua means Yahweh saves, or Lord's salvation, the Lord's salvation. And this is what the book is all about, isn't it? In fact, as we think about the book of Joshua, we need to remember that this book is all about God and his salvation and not about Joshua. It's about God and the salvation that he brings to his people as he fulfills his purposes to bring them into the promised land. Now, I want to start today with a bit of an overview of the book. So if you've got your Bible there, you might want to look along. You might like to look at that outline that I've got as well, that I've put in the bulletins for you. That's so if you do want to read ahead and find out what we're going to be looking at each week, you've got some idea of where we're going. So in chapters 1 to 4, we have Israel going into the land. It's a miraculous event that has them crossing the Jordan River on dry ground. That's in chapters 1 to 4. And then in chapters 5 to 12, we see Israel taking the land. Town after town are taken into their possession. Cities are destroyed. And as they're taken, we need to keep remembering it's not about how strong Israel is. It's always about how strong the Lord is. It's always about the Lord, or in Hebrew, how strong Yahweh is. Every one of these towns is taken at the hand of the Lord, the strong hand of the Lord. And this is the Lord's salvation. And as we go through this series, and as you'll see on the outline that I've printed for you, we're going to spend most of our time in chapters 1 to 12, looking at the strong hand of the Lord, the strong hand of Yahweh, or the Lord's salvation. And then the next section, well, that's chapters 13 to 21. And you'll notice on your outline that we're only going to do one sermon on that section, not because it's any less important or that we have anything against surveyors, sorry, Steve, but because this section outlines the borders of all the different allocations of land. And there's a lot there. But I think we can do it all in one sermon, and time will tell. And then the last section we get to in chapters 22 to 24, we see it's about covenant renewal. It's where God promises to the people or recommits himself to the people, and then the people also commit to God as his people. Now, what we see through the entire book of Joshua is God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. If God were to be unfaithful to his people, and the Bible continually showed how God turned away from his promises and ignored all that he said he would do, would you trust the Lord? No. But we look at the Bible and we see that we can trust the Lord. Time after time, we see God making promises to his people and he is faithful to them. Now, faithfulness and trustworthiness go together, don't they? I've been married to Corrine for 25 years. We celebrated our anniversary last year for 25 years. It hasn't been easy for Corrine. But our relationship has trust. We've been faithful to each other for 25 years. And this is what builds trust, doesn't it? We experience faithfulness. Now, this is unusual in our society, isn't it? We walk around with a lack of trust. Relationships all around us have little trust within them. And we see unfaithfulness practiced all the time. And I think that's why it's good for us to go to the book of Joshua and be reminded that yes, God saves. Yes, he is faithful. Yes, he is the one who'll bring his people into the promised land. And if we stretch it out to today, we will see again another yes, how God will bring us into eternal life with himself. God is faithful and he will do it. Our experience of God since the creation of the world is faithfulness. We see it in Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, Moses, Joseph and Moses, and many more. God makes promises and he is faithful to them. And so now I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 1 with me, and we'll see how God is faithful to his people. And today we see God's faithfulness in three ways, which are you can see in the outline in your bulletin, where it says, ready, set, go. Now, I still remember participating in the 400 metres at school, and your heart's racing, and then the starter calls out with the gun in the air. He says, ready, set, go. Bang. Well, the first thing we see here today in this passage is that we see that God commissions his people for the work ahead. He's saying, ready. God commissions his people for the work ahead. Get ready. And we're looking at verses 1 to 9 of Joshua chapter 1. And what we see here is the Lord spoke to Joshua after the death of Moses. And we're going to come back to his death in a little bit. But what does God say to Joshua? Look at verses 2 to 5. It says there, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to the Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Wow, what a promise. What an amazing promise. Everywhere he treads, everywhere they go, God will give them the land. They will possess everything. This is what God's going to do for the Israelites. And he wants them to be ready. There's work to do. And even though they're called to do something for God, God is going to go before them and make sure that everything goes well. And we see that in verse 5, don't we? Where it says, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. All the days of his life. And then we get this amazing word from the Lord at the end of that verse, end of verse 5. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Another amazing promise. And if you're looking at Joshua 1 in your Bibles, then maybe you just want to flick back to Deuteronomy 34, because it's right there that we're told that Moses was special. How special he was in verses 10 to 12, the last three verses of Deuteronomy. And it says there, since then no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. See, Moses wasn't any ordinary person. He was one of a kind, it seems like. And God walked with him. And then Joshua and Caleb, well, they saw all of those things that Moses did. They saw with their own eyes how God used Moses through those 40 years, getting them out of Egypt, the desert for 40 years, and now they're about to enter the land. And it's worth reminding you of Caleb and Joshua for a moment, because, well, they were part of that small group who went in to spy out the land 40 years earlier. The other 10 with them were scared, but not Caleb and Joshua. They said, God will give us the land. But Israel rebelled and got scared and didn't trust. And as a result, they walked in the desert for 40 years. And in that time, God promised that not one of them would enter the land, except Caleb and Joshua. They would go into the land, two of them. Everyone else would pass away. And what we need to remember here is that Caleb and Joshua saw everything that God had done through Moses. They know exactly how God walked with Moses. They saw it all. And now Joshua gets told, get ready, you're going in. You're going to take the land that I have promised to your forefathers. I am going to be with you. Look at verse 5 again. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. What a great promise. But getting ready to go in doesn't mean you're not scared. Doesn't mean you're feeling weak or feeling cowardly. And that's why God reminds Joshua to be strong and courageous. Look at verse 6. It says to him, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people in to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. And now look at verse 7. Be strong and courageous. And now look again in verse 9. What does it say? Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. And we need to ask, well, why should he be strong and courageous? Well, I think the answer is at the end of verse 9. It says, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The Lord Yahweh will be with Joshua wherever he goes. This is about the Lord's salvation for his people. It's not about Joshua and his amazing ability to lead this people. It's about Yahweh. It's about God and his ability to, or his power to bring salvation to his people. See, God wants his people to go into the promised land to be his faithful witness to the other nations. So God says to them, get ready, because you're about to receive the promise that God swore to their ancestors. Get ready. We now move on to the second point. We've seen ready, now we get set. Are you set? Are you poised for action? And in this section we see that God gets set or gets organized through a leader. Now we're looking here at verses 10 to 15. And what we see here is that Joshua is prepared to be God's leader. And we see this clearly in verses 10 and 11, where it says, so Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God has given you for your own. Now, they're about to become landowners. As God fulfills these promises and as God's leader, Joshua organizes them to get ready to enter the land, prepare for battle, prepare for what God is about to do for them, because God is giving them the land. And then we hit verses 12 to 15. And now if you're unfamiliar with the story, then this might seem a little odd. See, because here we read about the Reubenites and the Gadites. These are two tribes of Israel who wanted to stay on the other side of the Jordan. The river Jordan was a natural barrier that they had to cross to go into Israel. But these two tribes saw the land on the other side of the river, or other side of the Jordan, and they wanted to stay there. They didn't want to cross over. Now in Numbers 32 verse 5, they even say to Moses, don't make us cross the Jordan. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? But Moses saw right through their deception. He reminded them of their first attempt to enter the land. He reminded them that they were scared too. And he reminded them that this caused the Lord's anger to be on them and sent them in, and he sent them into the desert for 40 years. And then Moses says this in Numbers 32, 14 and 15. And here you are, a brood of sinners, standing in the place of your fathers and making the Lord even more angry with Israel. If you turn away from following him, he will again leave all these people in the wilderness and you will be the cause of their destruction. Very strong words, hey? But 40 years earlier, the same thing happened. So these two tribes return to Moses in Numbers and they say, we'll leave our families and our animals here, but we will arm and get ready for the fight. We will fight. They made a deal with God and Moses, And here they're reminded of their promise to go in with their brothers until all the land was conquered. And that's why as Joshua organizes the people and to get set and ready to go into the land, he reminds the Reubenites and Gadites of their obligation to stay with the other tribes. The women can stay, the animals can stay, but the fighting men must arm themselves for the fight. They are to fight until the Lord brings them rest. So God organizes the people under their leader Joshua to be a united people, to be the one nation that God has always wanted them to be. Unity between the tribe was going to be an instrument for people to see how great the Lord is. And for those who managed to read 2 Samuel last month, it's worth remembering that we saw this the other night, that King David united them all. And here we see that as they get set to go into the land, that they do go in as one nation, a united people, ready to fulfill the promises of God. And we'll see the importance of this as we go through the book of Joshua, where again and again we're reminded of God's concern for all Israel. Not just certain tribes, not just certain leaders, but his concern for all of Israel. And there's lots of references there that we could look at. So the people are set. The people united, God's people united, organized under their leader Joshua. So we've seen ready, set, and now go. Go with God's leader. And here in this section we see the commitment to the leadership of Joshua. The people will go into the land under the leadership of Joshua because they recognize that Joshua has replaced Moses as their leader. And we see that in verse 5. The Lord spoke to Joshua in verse 5 and 6 and told him this, but here we see that the people recognize that God has put Joshua over them. And we see their response in verses 16 to 18. And it says there, "Then they answered Joshua, 'Whatever you have commanded us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous.'" Now there are some great statements, some key statements here. They commit to Joshua as their new leader, as they committed to Moses before him. Joshua is their representative before God. They commit themselves to Joshua and commit themselves to being punished if they fail to follow Joshua's leadership. Now, this is quite a commitment. This is a commitment to seeing God's plan fulfilled as God directs his leader to enact God's plans. And the people of God are saying, "We will go. Ready, set, go. We will go." And just as God has commanded Joshua to be strong and courageous in this endeavor, we see that the people too call out to Joshua and say in verse 18, "Only be strong and courageous." Again, this is the Lord's battle. Be strong and courageous. Don't be weak. Don't be cowardly. Be strong and courageous. God will go before you. And what they're saying here is that they'll go with Joshua. They'll follow his leadership. See, recognition of God's leader over them to help them fulfill the plans of God for this nation, to bring them into the promised land and be the light that he wants them to be. Now, in many ways, they go into the land. There's a commitment to the word of God. And earlier on in verse 8, Joshua is told to meditate on the word and listen to God and to do it regularly. And it's with this background that the people are willing to go with Joshua, to listen to him and his words as he is soaked and immersed in God's word. Joshua is God's appointed leader, immersed in God's word. Now, this sums up our 3 points, our ready, set, go. Now, I've titled today's sermon as The Promise of God and Four Funerals. And we've seen the promise of God in Ready, Set, Go, but the four funerals are there to remind us of a key detail that we should listen to. The first funeral is in verse 1, and the other funerals are in Joshua 24, verses 29 to 33, and that's what finishes off the book. Those other three funerals. And there we see the funerals of Joshua, Joseph, and Eleazar. And the book of Joshua begins and ends with funerals. It begins and ends as a reminder that death is ever present. It reminds us that we shouldn't just follow a human leader, because human leaders come and go. And the point of a funeral here, and the point of the funerals here, is that the Bible is about God and his purposes for his people, and that these leaders are here there to lead his people towards God's purposes. And this book is about the faithfulness of God as he brings his people into the promised land so that they can be a light to the nations. So it's about God's leadership, or God using human leaders for a time, but they come and go, but God's leadership prevails or continues. Can you see that? See, God is working with sinners to make sure that more and more people come into relationship with himself. Now, one example of this is in Joshua 2, 8 to 11. I don't want to spend too much time there because we're going to look at that next week. That's Rahab. She's a prostitute, and she acknowledges that people in Jericho are melting with fear. They've heard all about what the Lord has done to bring them where they are, the Israelites, and how the Lord dried up the Red Sea, how the Lord conquered Sihon and Og, and how they destroyed the kings of the Amorites. The Lord has gone before them doing all these things, and the people of Jericho, well, they're melting with fear. They've heard what the Lord has done. And with all this background, Rahab, who's probably the least likely in our eyes to deserve mercy, is shown mercy. She sees and she wants to be part of Israel. And that was the point, wasn't it? That people would come to know the Lord through the nation of Israel. That they look and be welcomed into the promised land. As we head into some application, surely this is the same for us, isn't it? Surely the purpose God has for us is to be his witness to the world, so that the mercy of God may go out from us and people might come in. Isn't that our purpose too? To be a light to the nations? I mean, this is what Jesus told those who stood on the hill as he taught them in Matthew chapter 5. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Surely this is a mandate for us. Surely this is what God wants from us. Now, although we've gone way back to Joshua and the Old Testament, this message isn't all that different from last week, is it? We were in Ephesians last week, but now we're in Joshua. But it's the same message, isn't it? Be holy as your Lord God is holy. Let your holiness shine before others. For what purpose? That they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. It's always been about God receiving the glory for all that we do in our lives. God's plans for each one of us is to be his holy people so that others may come to know the Lord. God wants all people to come into his promised land. Now, in the Old Testament, we're looking at Joshua and speaking about Israel as they go into the promised, a physical promised land. But for us, the promised land is clearly seen in Revelation as Jesus comes back to take us to be with him. This is the goal, isn't it? To make the greatness of our God known to those around us so that they too can know our great God and know his saving purposes for them, to show them eternal life. Do you know what God's promise is for your life? Do you know that Jesus has covered over all your sins? Do you know that Jesus wants you to love him with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind? Do you know? See, God's promise is that when you trust in him, you have access to the promised land. Not the physical promised land, but the forever promised land that has no tears or crying or pain, but everlasting joy with the Father. Do you know? Do you know his promise for you? And if you do trust in the Lord Jesus, then you are part of God's holy people, a people united under Jesus Christ. And the question for all of us is this: are we a united church? Are we living wholeheartedly for God's plans to reach all people with the love of Jesus? Are we doing all that we can to reach those who are going to hell? I spoke a while ago about a way that we can reach our friends with the love of Jesus. And I mentioned the word oikos, your home, those close to you. And yes, I said I was going to do something about this, and it's still in progress. It's on the way. But I want you to start thinking about some things in the meantime. I want you to start thinking about 8 to 15 people in your life that don't know Jesus. People who like hanging out with you but don't know Jesus yet. And I want you to start thinking about them and praying for them. Make a note of who they are. That's probably the first step. And pray that God will make these people known to you. And soon I'm going to give you some next steps in reaching out to them. See, this is what we all find so difficult as followers of Jesus. But the reality is that we are just enacting God's plans to open doors to the promised land. Are we committed to enacting God's plans so that more people may enter the promised land? Are we doing what we can to reach those who know nothing about God's plans for them? And let me remind you, this is about God's faithfulness. It's about God who wants to purify a people for himself, to prepare them for a future with him. Are you listening to God's appointed leader? Not me, but Jesus. Are you listening to Jesus? Are you following his plans for your life to get involved in the mission of reaching those without Jesus, to participate in his church and be united with his people, to grow in holiness and purity so that more and more people may come into his promised land? Well, let's pray. Now, Father God, we thank you for your salvation. We thank you for your plans to bring your people into your promised land. Lord, help us to be strong and courageous as you use us for your glory. May you be lifted up, in our lives, and may we be instruments used for your glory. And we ask all this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.